This is the place for independent artists. This is the place for independent music. This is Song Planet Radio. Spread the word.
This is Jill Nojack on Song Planet Radio, voice of songplanet.com. And, you know, I just want to rush on now because what we have coming up for you is the very first Heart of the Night spotlight feature here on Song Planet Radio. I don't have anything cool like a Fokker phone, but I'm going to spotlight the music of Ink One. It's a collaboration of a lot of people from all over the planet. And when I knew I was going to be starting my own show, I emailed Peter Dahl Collins asking him to bring Ink One to Song Planet because music can communicate with us on a lot of levels. It can talk to your mind. It can talk to your body. It can talk to your emotions. And when I find something that communicates with me on all of those levels, I'm going to want to illuminate that. Well, Peter was good enough to oblige me and bring Ink One here so that I could play it. And he also provided me with an audio intro that I just love. Because as it turns out, Peter can be awfully charming when he's not deviling people in the forum. So, lights down, spotlight on, Ink One.
Hello. That was very enthusiastic, wasn't it? Hello. I'm Peter. Yes, hello. You're going to listen to some Ink One tunes now. And, well, you can make of them what you will, really. I'm supposed to tell you something about Ink One and how it all works. So, but I'll tell you this, that, like, you know, well, have you ever noticed, right? No, I'm not going to do that. No, when somebody walks past you, say it's like you're in a city, okay, and somebody walks past you and they've got their head down and they're sort of involved in something and you don't know what the hell that is. That's what Ink One is about, is looking inside that person's brain. That little story they're telling themselves or that notion that they've got, that idea that they want to carry out but can't or would like to, is daydreaming, really, and it's being able to look at other people's minds. That sounds so pretentious. I don't really mean it like that. Anyway, and how we write it is usually someone like Laurie or Poppy will write some words on their own and record them on their own, just as words, just as a dialogue. And I'll write music around that. And one of our rules is that you are not allowed to read words off a piece of paper. It has to come straight off the top of your head. I mean, you can have notes in front of you, that's fine, but You have to speak it as it comes from your mind. A bit like I'm doing now, I'm making a big balls up of it. And the other way is that I might have 8 bars or 16 bars of music and just a theme that might inspire someone to write a load of words to that, you know, sort of ramble. You know, and then we extend it, and it all kind of works in the end. Don't know how, but it just sort of does. Is this enough now?
I know that sounds a bit crazy, but bear with me.
feel as if my body, my memories, my personality, all of it is there, but as if I am once removed from it all, watching someone else live my life with all that is me. Needless to say, this concerned me. I went to the doctor, who sent me to a psychologist, shrink, if you will, who went through the whole trip of psychobabble with me. Who I am, my memories, my childhood, everything. We talked it all out. We talked about my present day life. You know, is there anything in my life right now that would cause me to feel this way? The thing is, we really didn't come up with anything. And I left therapy feeling only a little bit clearer with the fact that I really don't feel like myself. I don't feel like I'm living my life. And so I went on until one day I heard a theory that says that if a person suffers some trauma in their life, whether that be emotional, physical, spiritual, mental, they may be on the point of suicide or of losing their life in one way or another, and not wanting to go on. And that at that point, something will step in, some other being. And the theory goes that there are these other beings waiting just for people like me, like who I believe I've become. People who don't want to go on for some reason, but rather than commit suicide, they step back. Spiritually, I guess, and invite these other beings in to live their lives. Now, the theory says that the other being is here to work with mankind in some way, to improve it, to, I don't know, to do something here. The being has come in to this existing body and taken over from the spirit that doesn't want to go on in order to accomplish something. But the fact hasn't changed that I don't feel as if I am truly living my life. I feel as if I watch it being lived for me. It's like I myself am brought out at times when I have to deal with family, close friends, anything very, very personal. But at all other times, the face that looks out to the world through my eyes is not my own. And I still had the temptation to dismiss this theory until one night I woke suddenly in the middle of the night, and physically I was paralyzed, but mentally I was completely alert. The room was dark. There was no movement anywhere except through the curtains on the window, I could see a flashing green light, strobe light. And I heard noise as if a vehicle was out there. It was all very much like a street cleaning unit. And once I acknowledged this light mentally, it was as if everything went blank for me. Not like sleeping. Just as if
vision was suspended in that one moment in time, with the light flashing and the sound of the vehicle's engine rumbling. And there was nothing else for some period of time, until I came to. Again, I was able to move my body, and I was able to think again. But the vehicle was gone. It scared me so badly, I didn't think about it again until the next night. And I saw the same light, I heard the same vehicle, and it was on the walk over. And every night for a week, that vehicle was somewhere in that neighborhood. I tried to dismiss it as unimportant. I tried to make myself believe that the city had started using green strobe lights on its street cleaning machines. But of course that theory was blown to hell when I saw a regular street cleaning machine again through the day. But ever since that one night, I have felt as if I have a new knowledge within myself. As if I have gone on to the next step, to the next level. And I believe that that machine makes the switch for people like me. I believe that machine brings the otherworldly being to wherever someone has given up to facilitate that switch. And I believe that this is how the being inside me communicates with its own kind from time to time. Now, of course, I have no way of knowing if this is the truth, or if maybe I've just lost my mind. All I know is, I'm afraid.
My shrink says that I have faulty dopamine receptors. And that's like this odd little goofy DNA problem. Like when you're born, what happens is a little code tells your body how to build your brain. Somewhere in there, something goes wrong. And so your dopamine receptors, these things that suck up these brain chemicals, are supposed to work right, and mine don't work right. They're faulty. So what happens is I don't get enough dopamine, at least compared to other people. All that really means, it doesn't really mean anything. It just means that I have to have more excitement and more fun and more interesting stuff going on in order to be like what other people, what normal people would consider happy. When I was little, everyone said, you should be a doctor, you should be a lawyer, you're so smart, and all I ever wanted to be was a rock star. Because of the noise and the sweat and the groupies and the sex and the drugs and all of that stuff, it just, that's what got me off, that's what made me happy. Being smart and reading books and learning about doctoring stuff, that didn't make me happy. It didn't get the dopamine flowing. I was like bored. In fact, I'm pretty much always bored. Unless I'm like doing things that kick up the dopamine. And that could be drugs, and that could be random sex, and that can be dancing, and that can be rock and roll, and that could be jumping off a tower with a bungee cord strapped to my feet, or jet skiing at 70 miles an hour, or jumping out of an airplane, or just anything crazy. That's all I really have. That's all I have to keep me happy or to make me happy is something nuts. Something really, really nuts. I get in trouble a lot because of my nuttiness. I don't know why the rules exist, and they definitely don't apply to me. I'm separate. It's not fair that somebody said somewhere way back in the day, God or the prime mover or whatever decided that I had to have faulty dopamine receptors, and then somewhere along the line, and after that, other people come along and say, these are the rules you have to live by. Faulty dopamine receptors are not. You have to live by these rules. And that doesn't apply to me. It's not fair to say that I have to, like, find a way to be happy without the same amount of dopamine as everyone else. Damn it, that just sucks, actually. I should be exempt from those rules. That's why I drive my car drunk, and that's why I get in fights at bars, and that's why I raise hell in public places, that's why I fight with cops, that's why I argue with lawyers and DAs and judges, and that's why I spend a fair amount of time in jail. It can all be traced back to DNA.
Maker than the noise taker. Fiber optics on fire tonight, dreams expired, wallowing around the municipality in search of antiquity. Instead, met with third generation residue of the Battle of the Plains of Abraham, the Battle of the Colas, which remind me so much of the film industry and the music industry. Something authentic is released and five versions follow it, each one more diluted than the next. Who's to blame for all that? I think it's us. We're the ones who put them there. We're the ones who buy the tickets. We're the ones who buy the records. You can't complain when you're to blame. And I'd rather be the noise maker than the noise taker. Sitting in the booth at the diner, just sort of looking around and wondering where I fit into this whole suburban scheme of things. I really don't, I guess. Maybe I do. I'm not sure yet. But I'm warding off creditors with tinfoil shields and cellophane swords. I'm through with lateral moves. I'm through with being chained to a cubicle. I'm through with being through and thorough and pretty sure I'm not going back. Corporate dogma, I've had my share. Instant karma, turnstiles at fairs, walking through. I might just see you there. What about eating crow? I've eaten triple-decker sandwiches with a side order of arrogance. Smug looks on pale corporate faces. Chained to a cubicle. Steering committees that steer a committee that's a subcommittee of a committee that was put together to help out the original committee. Talk about pension, holding on for dear life. I long for the person I was before I entered the workforce. I long for the person I once was.
Oh, that's amazing stuff. The first piece you just heard in that spotlight on Ink One was Switch with Lori Fraser Laws, who's in the chat room tonight. She supplied the vocal piece. Brian Williams from the U.S. supplied the vocal line in Dopamine. And I think many people around Song Planet may have recognized that last voice in 667606 as Daniel Iorio. The music is Peter Dahl Collins. And the incredible guitar lines belong to Michael Parker. And, you know, there really isn't anything else I can say about Ink One. I think it speaks for itself, and it just blows me away. There are some more pieces on the Ink One page that I didn't play tonight, and I think if you'll check them out, you definitely won't be sorry. So, the spotlight's over. It's time to turn the lights back up and turn the spotlight off. I am Jill Nojack, your P-Day DJ here in the heart of the night, or at least it is the heart of the night on my part of the planet.